I'd like to ask you to pray with me just once more as we prepare our hearts for God's Word. Father, we just thank you for your precious Word. Lord, we believe that it is life-changing. And Lord, I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, to communicate these eternal, life-changing truths. And I pray, Father, that our hearts, our minds would just be open and receptive, tuned, Lord, to be able to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, the things that the natural mind cannot understand and fully comprehend, that the Holy Spirit would give us that wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, that we might be forever changed and live to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to wrap up our series on peace. And I want to tell you, for me, it has been a real learning process week to week. Each week, just really have learned in a deeper way each piece of the puzzle of peace. You know, the Lord can give us peace in a certain situation or circumstance that we are going through, but in order for us to really have the peace of God every day in our lives, in any and all situations and circumstances, it has to be a way of life for us. I've come away with this from this series and all of the principles and all the scriptures that we've talked about, I've come away with that conclusion that it absolutely has to be a way of life. There's no quick fix for peace, but we can live a life of peace if we learn to walk in the truths of His Word. We have to always be looking to Jesus, the source of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And it's easy to fall into the trap of the world where we begin to look to something else, maybe someone else, other than Jesus, for peace. But He is the only source, the Prince of Peace. I heard a preacher say this week that even Jesus, the perfect Son of God, worried. And I have to tell you that it troubled me deeply. I consider it to be blasphemy that someone would say that the Prince of Peace, who said, "Do not worry," then turned around and worried. It is just another example of this pop theology of the day, watering down the truths of God's Word, even at the expense of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in whom dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He has never worried. He is the Prince of Peace. And that is how we can know that peace is available to us. I'm just telling you that the time that we live in, there is so much false teaching. So many preachers, in their effort to be relevant and to relate the gospel in a way that is palatable to the masses, they water it down, they change it, and they take away the veracity of God's Word, and it weakens faith, and it undermines us really knowing the one true God. I'm telling you, Jesus really is the Prince of Peace. And we can have that peace, but it has to be a way of life. See, Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you, don't let your heart be troubled." It says, "The peace I give to you, it is not the peace of the world. It's not dependent upon circumstance." And yet, so much of the time, it seems like our peace is. His peace is not. But it has to be a way of life. It's choosing to pray about everything instead of being anxious about anything. And then we can have a peace that passes understanding. It is keeping our mind on Him and trusting Him at all times and in all situations. And then He promises us perfect peace. It is loving His Word. That as we renew our minds with the Word of God and we learn to think like He thinks, then He promises us that we can have great peace. It is as we walk in obedience to Him day by day, and we find ourselves in this close fellowship with Him, walking and talking with the Lord, that our peace then flows like a river, a continual supply. I'm telling you, it is a lifestyle, and then we can have a life of peace. We can't just say, well, I want peace and I want it now. I want to have peace. It doesn't work like that. And as I said before, you can't microwave it. No, it's something that grows in our life. It is a lifestyle. You know, so much. This was so important in the New Testament church and so much a vital part of their life that many of the writers of the New Testament, Paul, Peter, and John, and Jude, they open their letters with a greeting of peace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. It was just the greeting of the day even. They didn't say hello, they said peace. It was just so much a part of their life. And it needs to be a part of our life today. It needs to be part of who we are as a believer. We need to be known for having peace. I mean, the world ought to look at us and think, they may not agree with what we believe, they may not agree with how we live, but they see that peace and they're like, wow, I wish I had that. It has to be a lifestyle. Has to be part of our everyday life. The carnal Christian will know little of God's peace. And I'm telling you the truth. The carnal, worldly Christian who maybe on some level believes in Jesus, but they're not really much different from the world, they will seldom know any of God's peace. See, as a new creation in Christ, we are to live a new life. That's what the Bible says. We are born again, born of Him. Jesus explained to Nicodemus when he told him he must be born again to enter the kingdom. He said, you got to be born of water, which is natural birth. And you must be born of the Spirit. You see, when we are born again, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as the Christ, as our Lord and Savior, then we are born again. We are born of the Spirit of God. He is our spiritual Father. When we allow our old sinful nature to rule in our lives, rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control in our lives, we're not going to have much peace. No, it is when we really and truly yield to the Holy Spirit and we allow Him to lead and guide us that we can walk in peace all the time. Last week we looked at the importance of obedience in the Scripture, and it almost it's like a strange truth, I think, in our generation. It may sound like a new teaching, but in the Scripture it's very obvious and it's a very clear principle that if we want to experience God's peace, then we have to walk in obedience to Him. And the first thing I want to say about that is that it's not just living by the letter, but it is obeying God in every area of our life. It is following His leading and obeying Him in everything. And you know, we know this and we understand this, that in our own strength, in our old sinful nature, there is no way that we can always obey God. But we can with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Romans 8:14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Who are the sons of God? Though it's not a trick question, y'all, but the answer is right there. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We got to be led by the Spirit. It's a life of peace. It's a lifestyle of being led by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Now, if you have your Bibles, you need to turn over to this passage. This is really a key passage that every believer needs to know and understand the principles, the truths that are laid out for us here. This is the way that we're supposed to live. And we're going to begin with 5:16. He says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. Some of you are thinking, what is that? That is when you yield to the Holy Spirit, when you allow Him to lead and guide and direct your life, that you're not just living the old life, but you're living the new life. You're not just living a natural life. Remember, Jesus said you had to have natural birth, but you also had to have a spiritual birth. You're living by the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit. Now, there's some who want to say, well, it's just automatic when you're born again. You just walk in the Spirit. I can verify and confirm to you that what I have seen with my own eyes and in my own life is that whether we're born again or not, if we want to be carnal, which the Bible talks about carnal Christians, if we want to be carnal and unbelieving and fleshly and worldly and sinful, we can. And so Paul says very emphatically, walk in the Spirit. He tells us. You see, it's something that we have to choose to do. Walk in the Spirit. And here's the amazing thing. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not fulfill the desires of your old nature if you walk in the Spirit. You see, that's how we overcome. That's how we live the life that we're supposed to live in this world. And that's how we can have peace in our lives. See, your flesh always wants one thing, and the Spirit wants another. By the way, when the Bible says flesh here, it is talking about our old sinful nature. It's referring to the fleshly body, but not just the body. It's referring to it in the sense that the flesh, the body, is influenced by the things all around us. And it is that old sinful nature, that old way of life. And so in verse 17, he says, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit." The flesh desires are always contrary to what the Spirit desires. He says, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." See, the flesh wants one thing and the Spirit wants something else. And then he goes on, he says, "These are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things you wish." And a lot of Christians just stop right there and say, "See, I can't do what I want to do. I can't help it. I can't help it." But then he goes on and he says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You're not under that old bondage of the bondage of the sinful nature. You're not under that old law of sin. You're not under that old law of condemnation where you could never win. No, if you're led by the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, he says, then you won't fulfill the desires of the old sinful nature. Now, some of you are still wondering, you're wondering, what does this have to do with peace? I can assure you it has everything to do with peace. In fact, we're going to read the next three verses, and you're going to see how important it is that we walk in the Spirit if we want to have peace. But before we do, I want you to understand this. That old nature, you see, it's driven by the world around us. It is influenced, and it takes its cues from the natural world. We see something, we hear something, we're experiencing something in our life, and that old nature always takes its cues from the world around it. And so our peace is always limited and based on what's going on in our life. But when we walk in the Spirit, we are influenced by, we take our cues, we are led of the Spirit, and the Spirit is never upset. It is never shaken. It is never overwhelmed. You see, we can have an inner peace in any situation when we are walking in the Spirit. Now, I want you to read those next three verses with me. It's amazing. I'm telling you, that you read these verses, you know that there's no way you can have peace when this is going on in your life. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. This is what that old nature will produce in your life. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now, some of you are thinking, yeah, I'm good so far. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so he tells us, first of all, you need to see this, that he tells us we got to walk in the Spirit because this is the kind of stuff the flesh will produce in your life, and those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He didn't say those who used to do such things or those who maybe fall into some sin, but he says those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That old nature. And I can assure you that if you have that old nature producing such things in your life, you're never going to have peace. That's a life of strife and conflict and turmoil inside and out. But in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is what the Spirit produces. You see, if we do what he says and we walk in the Spirit, if we are led of the Spirit, he says, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be evident in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all things that every one of us wants to have in our life as a believer. These are all wonderful character traits that other people around us are blessed by. And so often we struggle and strive to try to have these character traits in our life. But I want to tell you something. An orange tree, no matter how hard it strains and tries, cannot produce apples. And a carnal Christian who is allowing their old nature to rule and run their life cannot produce peace. Won't ever happen. We have to walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit. if we want to daily have His peace. Now that's a life to live. That's an abundant life. That's an amazing life. Oh, I try to love my enemies, but I just can't do it. You know, I'm going through this, and I know I'm supposed to have joy. Joy of the Lord's my strength, but I just can't. I want to tell you something. You can't work peace up. You can't just strain and struggle and strive and get peace. No, the way that you get peace is by allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and direct and guide your life, where you walk in the Spirit and there is this natural outflow. The Spirit produces this fruit in our life of love, joy, and peace. See, the circumstances of life around us and bring so much turmoil and conflict and stress. But as we live in the Spirit, we can have peace no matter what is going on in our life or in the world around us. It's not just a matter of wanting peace. Everybody wants peace in some way, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is able to produce this peace in our life. So the key to having peace, it's not how hard you struggle and strive to get peace. No, it's in yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting Him be in control of our lives. As long as the old nature is in control, we're not going to know peace. It's as we walk in the Spirit that we have peace. I want to remind you, peace is not the absence of conflict on the outside. It is the absence of conflict on the inside. It comes from the Spirit directing our lives. Real peace is a calm on the inside, no matter what's going on the outside. The storms are never going to go away completely. We all have adversity. We all have problems. We all have hassles and conflicts. And here's the verse again we keep coming back to. John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, trouble." You're going to keep having trouble. If I can just get past this, if I can just, you know, this one last thing, we're finally going to have some peace. It'll be temporary. In this world you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's a way that we can have peace. But I want to remind you, the answer is not to get rid of all your troubles. There's always going to be something that comes up. Stress in the workplace, stress from school, stress in the home even, over finances, stress over how to deal with your kids, and stress over how to deal with your parents. Stress even over church, ministry. Some of you here this morning, you got trouble going on. Some of you upset this morning, feeling pressured by the load of life, struggling with worries and fear and anxiety. Gonna be trouble in this world. Bills to pay, things that go wrong, in-laws and outlaws, trouble and troublemakers. But God is still in control. Amen. He is not anxious. He's not worried. And neither should we be. He is the Prince of Peace. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." What things? If you back up before he gives us this fantastic promise in John 16:33, there's a number of things that he talked to the disciples about. But one of the biggest things, the key things that he talked to the disciples about, was the Holy Spirit. He said, "The one that is with you," referring to himself, he said, "is going to be in you." That Jesus is always with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not just with us, but he's in us. And Jesus said, I spoke these things to you that in me you may have peace. You see, Jesus told them about a promise from the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would be our helper. The Holy Spirit would be, another translation says, comforter. That the Holy Spirit would lead us, that he would guide us into truth. And I'm just telling you that when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and help us and comfort us, oh, it changes everything. We can have peace in our life no matter what's going on the outside. Most of us, we live this hurried life where we're always trying to catch up. We're always behind and we're always stressed and we've got this going and that going. Even when we're not busy, somehow we feel like we are. We think we are. And I just want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is never in a hurry. When you live a life that is led of the Spirit, I'm telling you, you're going to be on time. Did you know that Jesus was always on time? Now, there's times when people thought he was late. They said, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus was always on time. He was led of the Spirit. Here's another thing. You don't see anywhere in the Bible, now maybe he was, I don't know, but there's no evidence whatsoever in the Scriptures that Jesus was ever in a hurry. And my wife has made a real practical application of that. But she says, I'm not going to be in a hurry when I drive. So I'm like, let me drive because I got to get somewhere. That's what I tell her. The real reason is because she scares me. But anyway, man, I'm getting in trouble. Pray for me. But Jesus was never in a hurry. He was never late. And I'm just telling you, if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, it would change so much. You say, oh, pastor said I'll never be late. I got to be at work at 8 o'clock. I'm going to set my alarm for 7:45 because pastor said I wouldn't be late. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're led of the Spirit, well, the Spirit might lead you to set your clock for 5 o'clock. But so often we end up living this stressed out, anxious life, no room for margin. No, we're just always struggling when if we would just allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, I'm telling you, everything will come together the way that the Lord intends, and it works out. And we have peace. We can live a life of peace when the Holy Spirit is directing our lives. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Peace, the peace of God rules where? In the heart. Not on the outside, not in this world, not until Jesus comes back. But right now, peace can rule in our hearts. We allow the Holy Spirit to rule, to lead and guide us, and that peace rules in our heart. See, we have to make a decision to yield to the Holy Spirit and let him guide us instead of that old nature. We choose to be led of the Spirit, to let the peace of God rule in our heart. When we choose to be led of the Spirit, we're choosing peace. I remember one night about 30 years ago, and listen, I got to tell you, my confession to you this morning is there are a lot of the time that I don't really just follow the leading of the Spirit, and I struggle with what I'm saying, teaching this morning. But I believe I'm changing. I believe I'm growing. So I got to go back about 30 years ago to find a good example of when I really followed the Holy Spirit. No, I don't have to go that far. But this one really stands out to me because I know how serious and grave the situation could have been. It was about 30 years ago when I was on my way home after preaching on a Wednesday night, you know, and we had a great service and just been in the flow of the Spirit and that service and you know, God moving and working in my life. And, you know, Carmen and the kids were little then. They were in another car. But it was back before they changed the exchange at 20 and 35. And as I came off of East 20 and turned south onto 35, another car was coming from West 20 and turned south on 35. And they had a yield sign, but as I approached to where this car was coming, they were coming at a high rate of speed, and my normal attitude and way might have been, this is my lane. You better stop. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it was like the Holy Spirit, this calm came over me, and it was like, stop. And I just slowed down and came to a stop, and I watched as this car going at a high rate of speed came across my lane. And at that time, there was a bridge with a concrete barrier, and they just went right through that concrete barrier and down into the creek. And I knew that if I had have kept going, if I'd have had that worldly attitude, that carnal mindset, this is my lane, you're supposed to yield, I would have been in the bottom of that creek instead of that car. And I just want you to know, that is a huge example, an extreme example, of how it makes a difference when you yield to the Holy Spirit. But how often in our lives, and driving in traffic is a great example, do we lose our peace because we didn't yield to the Holy Spirit? At the very least, our peace gets wrecked. And we struggle, and we have no peace. When if we would just yield to the Holy Spirit, what a difference it makes every day, in every situation. We got to choose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, as Paul said, to walk in the Spirit. See, when we choose peace, we're choosing to walk in the Spirit. That's how we choose peace over strife. That's how we choose peace over envy. That's how we choose peace over all those works of the flesh. I'm not going to take for granted that anyone knows this. I want to say this plainly. If we commit the works of the flesh, we're not walking in the Spirit, and we're not going to have peace. So how we need to yield to the Holy Spirit, allow Him to have His way in our lives every moment of every day. How can we be led of the Spirit? I want to tell you, first of all, you've got to get your mind on the things of the Spirit. We can't just be thinking about the natural things and looking at things the way the natural world does. No, instead, we got to turn our attention to the Lord and to the Spirit. You know, we get so accustomed and so tuned in to natural things that I'm telling you, for many of us, it takes a conscious effort to say, no, I'm going to tune into the Spirit. I'm going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh. So this is what we've been talking about. Those that live according to that old nature. He says, set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's what their minds are on. That's what they think about. But those who live according to the Spirit, they have their minds on the things of the Spirit. See, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, our mind has to be on the things of the Spirit. We can't just be carnal-minded and think the way the world thinks, or we'll end up acting the way the world acts, and we'll have the results the world has. He says, for to be carnally-minded is death. I can assure you, to be carnally-minded is strife and conflict and yuck. To be spiritually-minded is life and peace. That's what God has for us. So if you're going to walk in the Spirit, I'm telling you, you're going to have to get your mind on the things of the Spirit. If our thoughts are just controlled by the things around us, we end up being controlled by the things around us. But we got to get our minds on the things of the Spirit. If we're yielding to the Spirit and letting Him lead our lives, then we will be peacemakers. In the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." We're supposed to have a quiet and noble quality about our lives that models the great family that we are part of. There's supposed to be something about our life that people would call us the sons and daughters of God. What is that quality? Peace. Being a peacemaker. Not a troublemaker, a peacemaker. That identifies us with our Heavenly Father. It is part of our born-again nature as a new creation in Christ that we are a peacemaker. And I'm telling you that when we allow the Holy Spirit to truly be in charge of our life, we're going to be peacemakers. I remember one day after the service, a woman met me as I was walking up the center aisle, and she began to say some ugly things and talking about doctrine and different things and just trying to be pleasant. I smiled at her, and I was just listening, and she says, "Why are you smiling?" And you know, in my flesh, I wanted to say, "Well, you crazy old religious hag, let me just..." And somehow, by the grace of God, I managed to keep my flesh under control, and I allowed the Holy Spirit to keep me from saying something stupid. And I'm just telling you that when we really yield to the Spirit, how He will take control in our life and the situations that we deal with, and He'll give us peace. Now, as a peacemaker, you can't always avoid every conflict on the outside. You can always have peace on the inside. But sometimes we do have conflicts on the outside. Paul said in Romans 12, 18, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live at peace with all men." Is it possible? If it's up to you. See, he says, on your part, not their part. You know how the world acts. "Well, they said this, so I said that." Do you know that's the way most Christians act? That's carnal. There's no way to have peace like that. No, he says, as much as is possible, if it depends on you, live at peace with all men. Now, there's times when it's not possible. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And when we are, we leap for joy. Well, that's what Jesus said. But there's times when you have to stand up for what you believe and for your convictions, and you can't always have peace with the world. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." You see, we're going to have conflict sometimes on the outside. But even in those situations, we should be led of the Holy Spirit and still have peace on the inside, knowing that we did what God wanted us to do. But as much as is possible, live at peace with all men. In fact, the Bible says that we are to live quiet and peaceable lives. Where matters of opinion and taste and preference and my rights and I want this and I want that, oh, we need to choose, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and be peacemakers. Now, I want to wrap this up with this. We need to walk in the Spirit. So how can we stay full of the Spirit? It's very important that you keep your mind on the things of the Spirit. But Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And if you look at this word in the Greek language, the verb form indicates something. Well, it's something we have to use a couple of words to get the same verb form here, because it is a linear verb. It is a continuing process. He's actually saying be being filled. It's not be filled one time. It's be being filled. I heard a preacher, in fact, he's a very, very popular preacher. I've even seen some of our church members posting his videos on their Facebook. And I'm not going to name names, but I tell you, we need to know what the Bible says and go what the Bible says instead of fad preachers and even traditional doctrines that have kept people from believing the whole of Scripture. He said, with the day that you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. I guess he didn't know about Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. There is a measure of the Spirit. We need to constantly be being filled with the Spirit. We don't need just a little dabble, do you? We need the Spirit to lead and guide our lives. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to stay full of the Spirit. Not full of ourselves, not full of religion, no, full of the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not walking around all bent out of shape and upset and gnashing your teeth and struggling and striving. And he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I've done it some. I've known many who did it quite a bit, but none who did it as much as our former pastor, Brother Harold Nichols. It didn't matter if he was walking down the hall at the church, or if he was building something, if he was trimming the hedges, or he was sitting in the office, which he didn't do much. But wherever he was singing. You'd hear him coming. Life's sinking, sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go. You know how I know that song? Because I heard him sing it 1,000 times. But he was always singing, speaking to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord. Never knew a more Spirit-filled man. Are you hearing me? You want to be filled with the Spirit? Get rid of that phone unless you're getting your song from there, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, disconnect from some of the distractions. Get your mind. If your mind is all on the things of the world and all this stuff around you, I'm telling you, the Bible says, we read it, Romans 8, 5, and 6. If your mind is on the things of the world, the things of the flesh, you're not going to have peace. Those who walk in the Spirit, their mind is on the things of the Spirit. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another. This is the way we're supposed to live all the time. It's a lifestyle, and it results in a life of peace. Now, Jesus said in Luke 11:13, he says, your heavenly Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And some people think they don't need to ask. Where is that in the Bible? Why would Jesus tell us so plainly, The Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask, if we're not supposed to ask? In fact, there are some preachers who teach you shouldn't ask. And they say, the day you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to need. I want to tell you, you need all the Holy Spirit that you can get. And you can never go wrong with asking the Father to fill you to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. You don't need a little dab. No, you need as much of the Holy Spirit as you can get. Oh, how we need Him in our lives. That's where the peace comes from. It is produced naturally in our life when we yield to Him and allow Him to be in control, to guide us, to lead us, to help us, to comfort us. It's the Holy Spirit. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank You for the peace that You offer to us. I thank You, Lord, for this life that You have called us to live. What a wonderful thing, Lord, not to live any longer in that old life, but to live a new life in You, to truly live as a new creation, and to truly have peace. Not just for a moment, but a lasting peace, an eternal peace. And Father, I just thank You for it. I thank You, Lord, for doing a work in us. And I pray, Father, that we will not forget these truths of Your Word. But Father, day by day, we will grow in this peace and learn more and more to walk with You, to walk in Your Spirit. Oh, Father, that we might truly have peace. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this time of the service, like so many things in life, there are the things of the flesh and the natural world. And we can get our minds on those things, or we can get our minds on the things of the Spirit, the things of God. And I just want to encourage you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you right now. There's some of you here this morning that you're so troubled and anxious in such a battle. And I want you to know that your Heavenly Father loves you and He wants to help you get through that storm. And He can give you peace. I encourage you to come for prayer. There's some of you here this morning that you've been struggling and striving and trying to do it your way. It's time to yield to the Holy Spirit. Some of you realize you've been allowing yourself to live like a carnal Christian, not really being a spiritual person. It's time to change. And I just encourage you to let the Holy Spirit have His way this morning. Some of you realize you've never ever asked to be filled with the Spirit. If Jesus said that that's available, the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask, then ask. I encourage you to come for prayer. Whatever way the Holy Spirit might be dealing with you, and as always, if you came to this service with any kind of a prayer need, you're welcome to come for prayer. I'm going to dismiss the congregation this morning. I speak a blessing over you. But if you need prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.